He's a good friend of UH's for many years, and he's here. He's a professor at Biola, and just like I was saying before, just been an example of, to us, of intentional evangelism, building friendships with people. So let's give him a warm welcome, John Rittenhouse.
Testing. Oh, there we go. Good. Okay. Recently, I was at the Getty Museum and looking at all the artwork at the museum, and I was looking at one piece of art. I think it was a Picasso. Didn't look that good to me, but it was worth a lot of money. And as I was looking at it, I asked the guard, I said, how much is it worth? And he's like, $50 million. And I was, you know, about 4 feet away from it when he said that. I'm like, I want to step back. It's like I don't want to breathe badly on it, you know. But you see all this beautiful artwork at the Getty Museum, and when you see all this beautiful artwork, you don't applaud the painting. You applaud the person, the artist that made it. I'm the painting. God is the artist. But as he works in our life, he's going to transform us. So 2 Corinthians is an example of this. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror, the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory. So as we walk with God over a period of time, he's going to transform our life. He's going to make us more like Jesus. And as Jesus is reflected in our life, it's going to get better and better. So I'm not great, but God is. And God wants to reflect his image in your life. So I want to share some reflections about the image of God in our lives and what he wants. So I thought of this kind of an overview. Two main emphases I'm gonna try to do this morning: the power of friendship and the essential nature of love. God wants us to develop friendship, and friendship has incredible opportunity to influence our life. I'm gonna share seven stories or seven friends that I'm involved with right now. And but as you think about your needs, maybe you have a need to experience the Father's love, both of our Heavenly Father, but also maybe of an earthly father. Or you have a need, and really all of these are needs in every one of our life: deeper intimacy and friendship. Deeper intimacy and friendship. Every friendship that I've been involved with brothers that I mentor, or non-Christians that I mentor, at some point in the friendship, they'll say something like this to me: Jai, I really want to tell you something, but I'm scared. They're scared because they're afraid of whether or not they're going to be accepted, whether or not they're going to be secure. We have a need to be loved and accepted securely. We have a need to love God and people better. What are we going to be doing in heaven? Now, I like church service. I like music, but I don't want to sing songs for 10,000 years straight. Now, some of you might, but I don't. I want more variety. But the major thing we're going to be doing in heaven is relationships. Relationship with God, relationship with people. We're going to be building friendships for all of eternity. This is part of God's game plan for us. Not just here on earth, but forever. And God wants to have character transformation in your life. So I want to talk to you about my, both of my Chinese sons, but this is my number two Chinese son, Luan Wangwang. Met him about 3 years ago in China. I've been to China 8 times. I'm actually going to China in 3 weeks for my 9th trip. I love China. Half my heart is in China. My other half of my heart is in Southern California. So I got to go back to China very frequently because I have so many connections there. But when I met Wang Wang, we were in like a dorm room, and about 7 believers, and it was part of a house church, very large house church, actually about 700. It's kind of hard to fit 700 people into a house. It's a gigantic church, but it's technically a house church because it's not approved by the government. And so we're in this dorm room, and I asked him to tell me a story. I said, Wang Wang, tell me a story. So he starts telling me a story. He says, when I was 2 years of age, my father had a construction accident. A piece of concrete fell on my father's head, and it damaged his brain to such an extent that my father no longer had relational abilities. Couldn't communicate, couldn't build relationship because his brain was so badly damaged. And he said when he was 14, his father died. And when he was 15, his mother got remarried. And her new husband did not like Wong Wong. So his mother gave him away to an orphanage and put him in an orphanage. And when he got to that point in the story, he started to just weep. Now, most of you should know the Chinese word for father is Baba. So he began to weep, and he began to say, I don't have a Baba. I don't have a Baba. And he just started to weep. And I said to him, I said, Wo aini arza, I will be your Baba. I will be your Baba. And he literally jumped into my arms, buried his head into my chest, and I just hugged him, and he wept for like 10 minutes. So I adopted him, into my heart. Every time I talk to somebody in that city, maybe I call and there's a group of guys in the dorm room, and they'll be like, Wong Wong, your father's on the phone. Wong Wong, your father's on the phone. Come talk to your father. And so I will see him in 3 weeks when I go to China. I'll be spending time with him. Okay. Another story. I can't tell you the whole story. I'm only going to tell you snippets of this. But 6 years ago, I had a student in my class. His name's Paul Yun. And Paul initiated a relationship with me twice. And then he abruptly terminated that relationship out of fear. And 4 years went by, no communication with Paul. And 3 months ago, Paul text messaged me out of the blue. And he said, Professor, I haven't seen you for a long time. Can we meet? I didn't know who it was. I'd actually lost all my contacts about 3 weeks earlier from my phone. And, you know, I'm not technically savvy, so they weren't backed up in iCloud. Oh, well, I'll learn. And so anyway, I said, who is this? And he says, Paul. And I thought, it can't be this Paul that I'm thinking about. And why is it skipping? Oh, there we go. So I get a text from him, and so I said, Paul who? And he tells me his last name. And so we end up meeting. And he hasn't talked to me for 4 years. He's kind of blown me off. And we talk, he apologizes for blowing me off, and then he says to me about 5-10 minutes in, he says, do you love me? I said, yes, I do. And he looks at me, he's like, really? And I looked at him, I said, Paul, I have never stopped loving you. I just didn't have opportunities to give you that love that's in my heart. And then he wrote me a text, and I want to read it to you. This was 2 weeks ago. Hey, John, morning. I did my quiet time in the morning today, which I didn't do for a while. And in my quiet time, I just felt like God and Jesus simply invite me into his presence of rest and love. I also felt Jesus embrace me with a loving hug, and that reminded me of you and how you hug me. To be honest with you, I think I'm still allergic to hugs, and it's still taking some time for God's tender love and mercy to resonate and soak in me, but also seeing that character side of God. Anyway, the reason I'm saying this is because I just want to say thank you and want to remind you that the good work you're doing in me and in the rest of your spiritual sons is not in vain. Like I said, when I felt Jesus' hug, I got reminded of your hug. And it's through your embrace I get a taste of God's embrace with my alone time with him. Please pray for me that God's tender love will soak into me more and more, and more walls will be broken down. Let's meet up soon. Sarang Hei, P.S., you have permission to share this to your friendship class. So he's given me permission to share some of the story with him, about him. 1 John chapter 4, 7 and 12. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. Everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love is perfected in us. If we love one another, God's love is perfected in us. If you want your muscles to get stronger, you don't sit in front of the TV and do the remote. It's not going to help. You have to go to the gym. You have to work out. Both of my sons, I have two sons, two daughters. My sons are both buff, although I kind of joke with my younger son. I call him Skinny White Boy, but he's actually pretty buff. But my sons go to the gym. They work out quite a lot. Well, the more you work your muscle out, the stronger it gets. Love is like a muscle in a sense. The more you work it out, the stronger it becomes. So 1 John says, as we love one another, God's love is perfected in us. So how are we going to become a better lover? By loving. Try to love. Seek to love. Be involved in significant friendships. And those friendships will influence you, and you'll be able to influence them. Here's a quote from another professor at Biola, Claus Isler. I like this book, and particularly chapter 2. He says, at our deepest level of being, we yearn for a mutual and intimate kind of companionship that deepest friendships can offer. My best friend in China, Mahdi. I met Mahdi the first time I was in China 4 years ago. He actually came to my lecture, Life and Culture in America, and he came to the lecture from his school. I met him at the lecture, and we started a friendship. He wasn't a believer. In fact, he had never thought about the concept of God up until that point in his life. And so we exchanged emails. He emailed me about 5 days later, and he said, John, what is the purpose of life? Do you have a book that you could recommend that talks about it? And I said, yeah. In fact, it's been translated into Chinese. It's called The Purpose-Driven Life by Rick Warren. It's in your library, I'm sure. So he goes there. There's two copies, one in Chinese, one in English. He wants to learn English, so he takes the English copy, and he reads the first chapter, which is entitled, It All Begins with Shandi. It All Begins with God. And he reads that chapter, and he literally has no idea. It's like somebody that doesn't know how to turn on a computer, yours truly, pretty close, and reading a technical computer manual. It's like, it just doesn't register with me. It's a waste of my time. And so he reads this, and he has no idea. And so he writes to me, he's like, what does he mean? What does he mean that it begins with God? And so this starts our discussion. And about a year later, he comes to faith in Christ. Mahdi and I have spent, he's my best friend in China. I love him so much. We have spent over 4,000 hours together, face to face, 4,000 hours. I was there in January. I'm going back again June 3rd. But when I was there about a year ago, he told his employer, he said, I'm quitting my job. And they're like, why? And he says, my best friend in the world is coming from America, and I want to spend 24 hours a day with him for 3 weeks. He says, I quit. And they say to him, you're our most valuable employee. You can't quit. We will give you a month off to spend with your best friend. So they did, which is unheard of in China. And so, you know, because there's another 150 million people waiting for your job. You know, and so, you know, if you don't want to do it, there's another 150 million that they can hire. So they give them a month off. We spend literally 24 hours a day together for 21 out of 22 days. I gave them 1 day vacation. And he's an introvert. I'm an extreme extrovert. So the poor guy, I just wear him out. So one out of the 22 days, he's like, I don't want to go outside today, John. I just want to stay inside. And because I'm always about, I'm meeting tons of people. I'm outgoing like crazy. And so we've spent 4,000 hours together. When I leave China, I cry because I don't want to leave him and my other friends. One time he was interacting with a group of people, and he talked about, you know, the one-child policy in China. They just changed it to two now. But they used to have the one-child policy in China. So he was number three child. And so when his mother got pregnant, the police literally came to the house to arrest her, to take her to the hospital, chain her to the bed, and force an abortion on her, which is common policy in China, very common. 175 million children have been aborted in China, 175 million. That's half the population of the United States. So the police came and she ran. So when he said this, when he shared this, I just started weeping. Started crying because I was thinking about not having my best friend in my life, and I just started to weep. And later I asked him, I said, do you know why I was crying? He's like, I said, it broke my heart thinking about that, Mahdi. Just broke my heart. Think about not having you in my life and having a friendship with you breaks my heart. When I was there in January, he spent 13 days with me. And this is a recent text. I love you, my brother, mentor, friend, teacher, father. You are God's very important blessing to me. You are more than a gift to me. Your words teach me, help me, heal me, comfort me, and love me. I get to play lots of roles. Brother, mentor, friend, father. I get to play lots of roles. Partly because I'm 60 years old, so I get to play lots of different roles. When I was there in January in the hotel room, we had just spent 13 days together. He was heading from Chufu, which is the hometown of Confucius, the philosopher. In Chinese, his name is Kongzi. So whenever I tell people I'm going to Chufu, they don't know the city. But when I say it's the hometown of Kongzi, they're like, oh, yeah, Kongzi, yeah, yeah. Everybody knows it then if I just say that. So I learned to kind of give them little tips and stuff. I don't know much Chinese. I know about 45 words. But it comes in very, very handy. It's very fun. You know, when somebody will say something, I'll ask them a question. You know, like one of the words I love is, Wei shema? Wei shema? Or, woman zoba. Let's go. You know, so I just know a few words. So, but it's fun. You know, they don't expect me to know any. But so when I was there in January, Mahdi was heading back from Chufu back to Beijing where he works. And at one point, he just puts his face in his hands. He says, I just want to cry right now, John. I just want to cry. I don't want to leave. I don't want to leave. He's like, and he's serious, he's like, should I call my company and tell them that I quit? And if I would have said yes, he would have done it, which is kind of scary. And I'm like, oh, bro, no. It's a good job. I'll see you in 5 days. I'll spend my last day with you when I come back to Beijing. We'll spend the last day together. He's like, okay. Then he's all right. So I'm going back June 3rd. I'll be spending two and a half weeks with him and others. Knowledge and love. This is a quote from Henry Cloud. He says, we can't grow unless we're sure that we're both known and loved. Some people like us because they don't know us. Mm-hmm. Some know us and therefore don't like us. Right? Relationships can't occur unless both knowledge and love are present. We need both of them. You need to be the type of person that is growing to be a safe person. You need to be a type of person that's a safe person. That you're going to keep confidential things confidential. You're going to be consistent and loyal to your friends. You're going to be a good listener and a better lover as time goes on. God wants you to be a safe person. And as you're a safe person, that will draw people towards you. I asked three guys. Same day, one of them is, Dennis knows him probably, Wilson Wang, and Jason Ricafranca and Brian Ricafranca. I asked all three of them the same day, asked them two questions. It's from the book Safe People by Henry Cloud. What draws you towards me and what moves you away from me? All three of them gave me the exact same answers. I asked them all independent of one another, and I asked them all on the same day at Biola. What draws you to me? Brian was the first one that responded to me that day. I said, Brian, what draws you to me? He said, your intense love for me. I said, what moves you away from me? He said, your intense love for me. All three of them gave me the exact same answers. God wants you to be a safe person. And as you're a safe person, people are going to be drawn towards you. They're going to want to have deeper relationships with you. Wang Shuai. Anybody know what the name Wang Shuai means? Anybody bilingual in Chinese? What's Wang Shuai means? Anybody know the Chinese characters? King, yeah, king. Shuai. What's Shuai mean? Handsome, yeah. So his name means handsome king. Okay? So his Facebook page, handsome king. Okay? So Wang Shuai. Here's Wang Shuai. He is kind of shuai, don't you think, girls? He's pretty handsome. And he's doing a graduate degree in music and worship in Beijing right now. And the first time I met him, I liked him. And after like spending about 5 days with him, him and I connected, and he says this: John, I feel safe with you, and I trust you completely. John, thank you for taking the risk to love me. I love you too. Hugs. After knowing him for 5 days, he said, I trust you completely. I trust you with my heart. Why? Because he figures that I'm a safe person. His heart is safe with me. God wants you to be a safe person. My best friend, my best guy friend in America, is a Korean international student. I really like Korean and Chinese a lot. So when I see people that are Korean and Chinese, I'm like, I want to meet them. I want to meet them. It's true, actually. God has placed a very much passion in my heart for Chinese and for Koreans. So Kang-uk was not a believer. I actually shared the gospel with him. 3 days later, he came to faith in Christ. This was taken recently. He's a PhD student at University of Houston. And I've known him for 6.5 years. And when he graduated, from Cal State San Bernardino. And so I saw him all the time. And the day he graduated, he moved in with my family and I for 14 months. So for 14 months, I had the joy of having him be in my home and be a part of my family. He's part of my family now. In fact, he's in Oakland right now, and on Thursday he'll be flying down. He'll spend 5 days with me. About every 6 weeks, I fly to Houston, Texas. About every 6 weeks. To spend time with my best friend. To cultivate friendship. And people around him, both believers and non-believers, notice. They're like, John, what brings you to Houston? Spending time with my best friend. Like, your best friend, Kang-uk, yeah. I baptized him about 2 years ago at Cal State. We used the swimming pool and had a little baptismal service. And he's an international student. And one of his Korean friends, he was sharing his testimony and talked about that I'm his best friend, that John is his best friend. Now, this is not as strong in Chinese culture, but in Korean culture, it's probably the most pronounced, this up-down respect. So, in Korean culture, if somebody is 6 months older than you, you have to use different words of respect related to them. Kind of like ma'am, sir. They have these little endings on the word, on words. Nim, N-I-M. So the word for God, hana, nim, hana nim. So you have to add that word of respect at the end of words in Korean culture if there's a 6 months age difference. So an older brother is hyung, a younger brother is dongsaeng. You have to use those words. If you don't, you're breaking Korean culture. So at his baptismal service, as he shares his testimony, he refers to me as John, not Professor Neem, not Mr. Rittenhouse Neem. He refers to me as John. And one of his Korean friends, same age, pulls him aside later on. He pulls him aside and he says, you cannot call him John. You have to call him Professor Neem. And he was actually a little bit angry at him. And Kang-uk looks back at him. He says, he is my best friend. He is my best friend. I will call him John. And so our relationship is an anomaly. So when I talk to other Koreans or Asians, I'll say, This is my best friend. After my wife, or I'll say, you know, my wife is my best friend, but, you know, my best guy friend is probably Kang-uk right now. And I'll say, I'm only 35 years older than him. And they'll be like, and it blows the culture totally apart. It just blows it up. So him and I are having fun blowing the culture up. In showing that there's no differences, there shouldn't necessarily be differences. John chapter 15, verse 12, Jesus says, love one another just as I have loved you. Meditate on that for a few months. God wants us to love one another as Jesus loves us. That's crazy. That's a big task. Then he says in the next verse, he says, I no longer call you slaves, but I call you friends. Hao peng you. I call you good friend. Well, is there any age difference between the eternal God of the universe and you? Is there any, he's higher, I'm lower, between the God of the universe and you and I? Yeah, infinite. So if the God of the universe can call you and I friends, I think it's okay for me to call somebody 35 years younger my friend, because God has modeled it. The God of the universe has modeled it. He wants friendship. He's calling people into friendship. So here's a text, actually a card that he wrote to me, birthday card. Part of it. He said, I'm so glad you are my best friend. Our friendship is exquisite and very unusual. I also want to affirm that I'm committed to our friendship forever, my best friend. I appreciate your enormous love from God. May God bless you. I love you, brother. Here's a quote from George MacDonald. It is by loving and not by being loved that one can come nearest the soul of another. You want to get close to a friend, a brother, a sister? By loving them, you draw your heart towards them. Because I love my brothers in Christ so much, my soul has come very near to them. Frequently, as I mentor men, I'll say, do you know what I want from you? They're like, mm-hmm. I was talking to one of my friends in my friendship class, Brian Lee. And I said, Brian, what do I want from you? I said, do you know what I want from you? He's like, yeah. I said, what do I want from you? He's like, I said, are you going to give me some of your heart, Brian? Are you going to give me some of your heart? He's like, maybe. He's scared. He's afraid. Other people, which I'll talk about here in a sec. In fact, maybe we're coming up to it. Yep, Matt Wong. Matt's been here at VOH with me a couple times. I affectionately and call him my fine Chinese friend. We have this joke. So he'll call me his fine white friend or his fine Caucasian friend. And I've known Matt for 10 years. Matt graduated from Cal Poly Pomona. And many times when Matt and I were together, he'd be at my house for, he'd usually hang out for 2 weeks. One of his goals that he had early on in our friendship, I had him write down 30 goals, academic, spiritual goals. And, you know, I didn't suggest the goal to him, but he wrote down his goal. One of his goals was to spend every other weekend with me. So he literally did. Every 2 weekends, he'd come to my house. He'd spend the whole weekend. We'd hang out. So Matt and I have probably spent about 9 months total time together at my house. And I've known him for 10 years. And early on in our relationship, I'd say to Matt, Matt, can I have more of your heart? And we'd do this a little routine. He'd go, and I'd take it out of his hand, put it into my heart. And one day I said, can I have more of your heart? And he looks at me, smiles, he's like, you have all of my heart, John. You have all of my heart. These are reflections of God, and these are reflections of heaven. This is God's heart. This is a reflection of God's heart. It's like the artwork, Getty Museum. God's just using me as a funnel. He's just using me as a pipeline. He puts love into my heart, and he says, give it away. And I'm like, oh, okay, okay. And God's love is intense. God's love is radical. God's love is secure. God's love is beautiful. God's love is infinite. God's love is unconditional. One of the other guys that I'm mentoring, when he does something wrong, he withdraws from his relationships, including his relationship with God. And the other day, I was giving him a hug, quite a long hug. I like long hugs. Sometime I'll tell you about the longest hug, 15-minute hug I gave. I'm going to break the world record someday. But as I was hugging him, I said, when you do this bad thing, do I love you? And he looks at me like I'm crazy. He looks and he says to me, of course you love me. I said, when you do that, God loves you more than me. God loves you more than I do. God's love is unconditional. It doesn't change when you sin. It doesn't change when you sin. Our tendency, though, is we withdraw from God when we sin. We walk away. God's like, don't do that. Don't do that. Confess your sin and stay close to me. God's love doesn't change. It's hard for us to get that because in human relationships, it seems like they change a lot. So here's a text message, older, but Matt is going to China with me, actually, in 3 weeks. Thank you for loving me like a mentor, a brother, a father, and a friend. I get to play all these roles again. When he graduated from Cal Poly Pomona, he text messaged me as he's waiting in line to get his diploma. He had dropped out of school, and I motivated him to go back to school and finish and coached him. And his grade point was a 2.4 before he dropped out. And when he started back up at Pomona, I just coached him. I was a very good student. And so his first quarterback, he got a 4.0. His second quarterback, he got a 4.0. His third quarter, he got a 4.0. His fourth quarter, he got a 4.0. His last quarter, he got like a 3.8. And when he's standing in line, he text messaged me. He says, I wouldn't be graduating today had it not been for your influence in my life. That's an incredible honor. I am unbelievably humbled and filled with joy over that opportunity. God can use anybody. I'm glad he chooses to use you and me in his purposes. My number one Chinese son, Liu Bingzhong, he'll be in L.A. this Wednesday. He works for China Southern Airlines, so he flies into L.A. about every month. So when he does, I go to the hotel because the company requires him to stay overnight at the hotel. So I go to the hotel, and we'll just do whatever during the day, and then I'll stay at the hotel with him however long he's here. So I get to see him practically every month. He works out of Guangzhou, and so here's a picture of him. I met him on probably my first full day in China 4 years ago. He's one of the first guys that I met. And he had just become a believer, and I started a friendship with him. In fact, the first day that I was there, we had lunch together, and as we're having lunch, he says, John, 1 year ago, my baba died of cancer, and 2 years ago, my mama died of a brain aneurysm. So no parents. And when he said that, I just silently prayed, and I said, God, I want to be his baba. I want to be his father. He needs somebody in his life to love him. I want to be his father. And so I was there for 3 weeks. The last day I was there, Bingzhong and I spent 12 hours together, 9 in the morning till 9 o'clock at night. Towards the end of that time, he says to me, John, you're not only my brother in Christ, but you're really like my baba. I said, I would like to be your baba. Can I be your baba? He's like, yes, of course. I would like that. So we've adopted one another into our hearts. So here's an email that he sent to me shortly after meeting. About a week later, he said, when I talk with my friends, I often mention you, and they admire our relationship. They believe that I have two fathers now. One is God, the other is you. Sometimes I'm almost crying because of the love from you. My dear dad and brother, I appreciate you. I love you forever. Your son, Liu Bingzhong. So I get to see him this Wednesday. When I was in China in March of last year, I went to Guangzhou for a week to be able to spend time with him and a number of other guys, mostly non-Christians. And one of the guys that I've known for about 3 years, actually through Bingzhong, is his colleague, co-worker, and he was actually at church. That's who I introduced you to when I was here a few weeks ago, Wen Kai and Wen Chao. So I've been sharing with those guys for like 3 years. Neither one of them are believers. Bingzhong's been a believer for about 4 years. So back to that summary list. What is your greatest need, maybe out of this list, or you could add one, to experience the Father's love or to experience a Father's love? That student that I mentioned is actually graduated from Violet Paul. Not a very nice relationship with his father. His father is very verbally and emotionally and sometimes physically abusive. So, in fact, I forgot to tell you part of the story. But 3 days before, Paul text messaged me completely out of the blue. He's praying, and he says to God, he says, God, I have no idea what it means that you're my father. Because the scriptures, Jesus said, you know, God is our father. Romans chapter 8, verse 15, he says, God has not given us a spirit of slavery, but a spirit of adoption by which we can cry out, Abba, Abba, Father. It's a warm term. So he's like, God, I have no idea. I have no comprehension what it means that you're my father. I have no idea, because he's got a terrible father. We get our view of God, the Father, from our earthly fathers. And if our earthly father is a jerk or uninvolved or removed or abusive or negligent, our view of God tends to be not so good. It's harder. And so Paul's praying. He's like, God, show me a picture of you. Would you put people in my life? God, would you put people in my life that give me a picture of you as Father? And Paul says to me, he says, when I prayed that, it's like God said to me, call Professor Rittenhouse. And so 3 days later, he text messages me. So our first time meeting after 4 years of silence, and he asked me, do you love me? I said, yes. And he's like, John, I want you to be my father. I want you to be a father in my life. So when I hug him, I say to him in Korean, Saranghae Ado, I love you, my son. And he says to me frequently in response, Saranghae, I love you, Appa, the Korean word for father. I love you, Father. I love you, my son. I love you, Father. So maybe one of your needs is to experience the Father's love more. God wants to wrap his arms around you. He wants to hug you, almost like the prodigal son or prodigal father in Luke 15. Remember the story? When the son goes off, spends all the money, comes walking back, he's scared, and the father just starts weeping and embraces his son, kisses him on the cheek, and is so excited because he loves his son so much. This is a picture of God. Or deeper intimacy and friendship. For you to be a safe person and for you to have friendships with safe people, you can open your heart. I had a guy about 4 weeks ago, he said, John, I want to tell you something, but I'm scared to death. He's like, what's the worst thing anybody has ever told you, John? So I gave him some examples. And he's scared to death. He's like, I've never told anybody this. And he tells me. And I said, bro, I promise you two things that are never going to change. I love you no matter what. I accept you no matter what. Those two things are never going to change. These are reflections of God. This is how God loves you. He's like, I love you no matter what. I accept you no matter what. You ever scared to go to God? You screw up, you sin, you got bad attitudes. Ever scared to go to God? You're like, oh man, maybe God won't like me. Of course he's going to like you. He's committed to liking you. He's committed to loving you. He can't choose to do otherwise. Think about it. He can't choose to do otherwise. But we're scared sometimes, just like we are in human relationships. It's like when we're a little boy or a little girl and we do something, you know, and we hide under the bed or in the closet because we don't want mama or papa to find out about it, you know. God's not like that. It's not like that. God wants you to experience being loved and accepted. He wants you to love him more and love people better and to have character transformation. I want to show you a film clip. I want to set this up. You guys can key it up. It's from the film Finding Forrester. Probably most of you haven't seen it. It's not a true story, but it shows the impact of friendship. William Forrester, played by Sean Connery, is this reclusive writer. His brother dies in a car accident because they were out drinking. They got drunk. His brother drives home, gets killed in a car accident, and as a result, Forrester becomes reclusive. He just hides in his apartment for like 30 years because he is so depressed. Jamal Wallace, who's a high school student, on a dare breaks into his apartment, just not to do anything bad, but just on a dare from his high school buddies. But through a series of events, Jamal Wallace, who's an African-American, black high school student, William Forrester, who is this reclusive white author, they actually become friends. And Jamal is about to get kicked out of high school because he's being charged with plagiarism because he quoted one sentence from William Forrester's article. But he had permission, but their friendship, Forrester asked him to promise that he would never reveal to anyone that he knew William Forrester because he wanted to stay private and reclusive. So Jamal promises that, keeps his promise, so he's going to get kicked out of school because he can't tell people that Forrester gave him permission to quote it. So he's about to get kicked out of school, and Forrester is unwilling to come and intervene for him until the last minute. So here's the clip. Turn the lights down, too, if you could.
I read a few words. Yes, of course. By all means. Thank you, Professor. My name is William Forrester. I'm that one. Losing family. Losing family obliges us to find our family. Not always the family that is our blood, but the family that can become our blood. And should we have the wisdom to open our door to this new family, we will find that the wishes we once had for the father who once guided us, for the brother who once inspired us, those wishes. Thing left to say will be, I wish I had seen this, or I wish I had done that, or I wish. Most of you are too young to know what your wishes will be. But when I read these words, words of hope, dreams, I realize that the one wish that was granted to me so late in life was the gift of friendship.
Mr. Forrester, I'm sure I speak on behalf of everyone here in thanking you for this unexpected visit. The quality of your words is something we should all aspire to reach.
Mr. Forrester,
may I ask, to what do we owe this honor?
Professor Crawford, I spoke here today because a friend of mine wasn't allowed to. A friend who had the integrity to protect me when I was unwilling to protect him. His name is Jamal Wallace.
Jamal Wallace is a friend of yours?
Yes, he is. I helped him to find his own words by starting with some of mine, and in return, he promised never to say anything to anybody about me. A promise which he kept.
Mr. Forrester, while your visit appears to be heartfelt, I'm sure you will appreciate that it will not change or interfere with this institution reaching a fair and proper decision in his case.
Oh, there's one more issue here. Those words that I read today, I didn't write them. Jamal Wallace did. Quiet, please. That has no bearing on the decision concerning Robert. Mr. That, as director of this competition, I have final say.
Robert,
in this matter.
Sit down. I have been a teacher for more than 30 years. That's long enough to know that integrity counts for something. I'd say that Mr. Forrester has cleared up this matter very nicely for us all. And as chairman of the faculty board, I have the last word in that matter. Mr. Wallace, you are excused from next week's board meeting. Mr. Forrester, should you ever have an interest in a teaching position? Jamal, these are your words. 16. Remarkable.
I'm thinking you'll make your own decisions from here on.
I'm thinking you're about to say something more like, I always could.
No. No more lessons. But I have a question, though. Those two foul shots, the end of the game, did you miss them? Or did you miss them?
Not exactly a soup question, is it?
Get more of the impact of that movie, you'll have to watch the whole thing. Transformational friendships. God wants to use friendships in your life, and he wants to use you in the lives of other people. Let's pray together. Would you reflect on what we've talked about this morning? Experiencing the Father's love, being a safe person, being known and accepted, experiencing greater intimacy. I don't know what your needs are. I don't know what's going on in your heart. Lots of different things going in your heart for different people. Some of you, your hearts have been hurt. You have wounds from your father. Some of you have great fathers. Some of you have been wounded by your father. Some of you have experienced rejection in friendship. There's been people in your life that haven't been safe for you. God wants to put better friends in your life, good friends. He wants you to become a safe person. He wants you to experience more of his love, and he wants you to become a better lover of people. The great commandments, love God, love people. The closer you get in relationships, the more those relationships can rub off. God can influence you through people. Lord, thanks for loving us a lot. Thanks for being committed to loving us. Thanks that you want us to experience deeper relationship with you and also deeper relationship with people around us.
Team, if you can come forward this time. We're going to worship the two more songs as we close out service. If you'd like to receive prayer, maybe something related to the message or something else, we'd love to pray for you. So, Father, we just thank you for this message. We pray that we can move more towards transformational friendships. Fill us, Lord, with your love today so that we can love others, so that we can love you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together. We'll worship to these two songs as we close out.